Manx Radio's update with Barry Redfern.
Pastor Mai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Tuesday, the 9th of August, 2022. A 30-minute roundup of the news, sport and travel on the Isle of Man. This evening, calls for the government to do more to prevent businesses collapsing through the rising cost of living. A decrease in antisocial behaviour in Port Erin following extra police patrols. And young farmers tell us what's in store ahead of this weekend's Royal Agricultural Show. More on those stories and more in just a moment in Update.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to six, the news headlines from Rhian Evans. Faster Mai.
By the end of the financial year, it's expected the Department of Infrastructure will be £19.5 million over budget. It's said to be due to large inflation figures. Most government departments are also expected to be over budget by the end of the year. A man has been jailed for indecently assaulting another man whilst he slept. 30-year-old Stuart James Lee Gorn of Cronkadooney has been imprisoned for 23 months and placed on the sex offenders register. Chairman of the Manx Credit Union, David Talbot, says people should start saving now as the cost of living soars. After seeing a dramatic increase in energy prices this year, gas bills are set to rise again in September. In international headlines, Tory leadership contender Liz Truss is refusing to commit to extra financial support, as experts warn people could be spending over £4,200 a year on energy by January. Both the UK Foreign Secretary and her rival, Rishi Sunak, are being urged to take urgent action to deal with the cost of living crisis. An amber warning for extreme heat has been issued for parts of England and Wales. Meanwhile, Thames Water is preparing to announce a hosepipe ban in the coming weeks. And tennis great Serena Williams says she doesn't like the word retirement, but that she is evolving away from the sport. The 23-time Grand Slam singles champion has told Vogue she wants to prioritise her family and strongly hinted the US Open will be her last tournament. Those are your headlines. News in full with Tessa at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face-to-face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
And it'll stay dry overnight with clear skies and light winds. Minimum temperature falling no lower than 13 Celsius. The outlook for tomorrow remaining dry with light winds and unbroken sunshine, becoming very warm with the highest temperature up to 23 Celsius. Remaining dry and settled for the rest of the week with lots of sunshine and light winds. Temperatures will continue to rise, becoming very warm or hot by the end of the week, with maximum temperatures reaching 26 Celsius in places by Friday. Sunset at 9 o'clock, or 2 minutes past nine today. Sunrise in the morning, 5:46. The high water this evening is at 7 minutes past 10. Low water in the morning at 4:30, and high water then at 10:39.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and see a range of products from windows to doors, mirrors to splashbacks. Manxglass.com.
There are calls for government to do more to prevent businesses collapsing under the pressure of rising living costs. It's after an island-based supplier of artisan health foods announced it was shutting its doors because of global economic pressures. Claire Barber is the Environment, Food and Agriculture Minister and says the department needs to make sure it's looking to see where additional support can be provided.
I think now more than ever, it is absolutely the right time to try and buy locally produced products. And we're happy to talk always with anyone. And actually, you know, we've always had a healthy dialogue with this business and many others. We need to be making sure we're looking at where additional support is needed. So there is support now. And I would always encourage any businesses who are struggling to reach out to the department, both DfE and DEFA. There's conversations around how we can best support around the freight element, which I know has come up from pretty much every business that I've talked to. rising cost of living is making people, I think, reconsider what they purchase, which I suppose goes back to that point. For those people who can afford it, and I think it's fair to say that there are a good number of people on the island who can afford to buy local produce, but I recognise that isn't everyone. But there's that local multiplier effect as well. So there's the benefit of the employment of staff, there's the rental of a premises, there's the packaging, perhaps the labelling, there's all these other bits. They'll be using an accountant, there's so much other stuff. But then the other significant costs are around the input costs, and that has been really challenging across the food sector for quite some time. So on top of the gas prices, the fuel prices that everyone is affected by, the actual costs around fertilisers have gone up. So if you're a business that is using products, cereals, then the fertiliser costs for producing those cereals will have gone up, which means the cost of purchasing the cereals will have gone up. And ultimately, at some point, that cost has to be borne by someone, and you can either put it to the consumer or the producer tries to cope with that cost. But I think there comes a point where you can't put the price up enough to cover the cost of now production, and we're seeing that in some of the businesses that we work with.
And for many, the rising cost of living on the island is becoming a real concern, especially after it was announced gas prices are going up again next month. But the Manx Credit Union says there are things we can do to help cope with it. David Talbot is the chairman and has been speaking to Lewis Foster.
It's grim news for all of us, one way or another. The two things probably that immediately strike me that we're going to have to do, and that's to consume less, is an obvious one, but that's something that I think will be almost forced upon us. But the second thing is to actually start saving for the crisis. However tight things might be at the moment, even if it's only a pound or two a week, it will help when it comes to January, February next year, when we're feeling cold and B, we're going to be hit by very high energy bills. And there are various things that we can do as a credit union to also assist people in that area.
Are you concerned about those people that perhaps aren't aware of the credit union, who might go to some of the loan companies that offer quite extortionate interest rates?
Fortunately, there are not that many on the Isle of Man, but certainly it's unusual for a provider, a finance provider, to providing small loans of less than £1,000. I would say more than half of our members now who have applied for a loan are wanting to take advantage of the family loan, which is a figure that you can lend up to, paid for out of benefits, principally child benefit, but not exclusively. It can also apply to OAP, long-term disability, and that sort of thing. So people have been applying for that. The thing about it is that we always say to people is that, yes, OK, we can see that you want to borrow this sum of money to pay for the energy costs, or maybe you're actually in arrears and you're wondering what on earth you're going to do when the next bill arrives. So we would always say, well, first thing to do is to go back to the provider who you're buying your gas and oil from and say, look, I'm in a bit of a pickle at the moment. What do you suggest? And they actually have people in those various utilities who are trained to actually deal with those circumstances. And as long as you're paying for current consumption and it can contribute to something from the past, there should be a good listening ear there. And then thirdly, if you do need to borrow some money, then come and see us. You'll always be in a much better position to do that if you've already started saving.
And on tomorrow's 1-2-3 programme, money expert Paul Chase will join Christy live in the studio for a special episode of Money Talks. He'll be answering questions about budgeting, savings, bills and all things related to the spiraling cost of living. You can email 123@maxradio.com now or text the show tomorrow after 1 o'clock. Max Radio. The time now, 21 minutes to 6. A Colby man has been jailed for 23 months after indecently assaulting another man whilst he slept. 30-year-old Stuart Gorn admitted committing two offences in the early hours of the 5th of July last year. Tessa Hawley was at Douglas Courthouse for his sentencing.
The court heard Gorn and the complainant, who can't be identified for legal reasons, had argued following a drinking session. Both went to bed, but the victim woke up at 4 a.m. to find he was being indecently assaulted. When Gorn realised he'd been caught, he froze. After Gorn went to sleep, the man left the property in Douglas and went to stay with friends before reporting the incident to police. Gorn then sent multiple messages to his victim, apologising for his behaviour, including one that said, "I'm extremely sorry. I should not have done what I did." In police interview, Gorn made admissions, telling police his drunken head said it would be okay. A victim impact statement read out to the court described how the man had undergone therapy as a result of the indecent assault. "He broke my trust greatly," he wrote. "I don't know how I'll ever get over what happened to me." Gorn's basis of plea was outlined, which said he'd taken a reckless approach to advanced foreplay and was extremely remorseful for his conduct. His advocate added, "There is no self-pity here. There was early acknowledgement, early remorse, and an apology." Sentencing Gorn to immediate custody and placing him on the sex offenders register for 10 years, Deemster Cook said the victim had been vulnerable due to the fact he was asleep and intoxicated. He told him, "It is unacceptable to do what you did. Everyone is entitled to say yes or no to sexual activity." A charge of rape was withdrawn by the prosecution.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
And the Hesham Ben McCree has just arrived. It's just docking now in Douglas. The Mananan is expected in Liverpool around about 10 minutes to 6 and will be turning around and departing Liverpool at 7:15, expected back in Douglas at 10 o'clock this evening. And the 1945 Ben McCree expected in Hesham tonight at 11:30. And overnight, the 2:45 in the morning, the Ben McCree expected in Douglas at 5:30 in the morning. And the Mananan departs Douglas at 7, expected at 9:45.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
Assigning designated police officers to patrol Port Erin's promenade has resulted in a drop in antisocial behaviour after issues last year, according to the Southern Neighbourhood Policing Team. Sergeant Ben Davis told Chanel Suku, "Because it's such a desirable location at the weekend, it can be a hive of antisocial behaviour."
We did see quite a spike, particularly in the Saturday evening. This year, we have been allocating designated staff to foot patrol, in particular Port Erin, Beach, Promenade and Athol Park, to try and counteract some of those issues. So far so good. We have certainly seen a decrease in the calls for demand that we had last year. We had a data produced and collated from last year's incidents. We also had a community meeting in Port Erin, which was open to all members of the public from the southern area. There, people had their opportunity to raise concerns.
A year later, what's the reduction like?
Data-wise, that hasn't been released. Just having worked here, the number of emails and calls for service just feels different. It feels a lot less. It just feels like we're going in the right direction at the moment.
How do you balance policing against the likes of Castletown, which is another big area that needs the resources?
It's intelligence-led and based on past experience. This is why it's so important, and I would appeal again for people to report incidents, however minor they feel it may be. It can be part of a bigger picture, and it can help us sort of prioritise where to put our staff. We rely on the public to give us that information, so the data so far has been, certainly for the last summer, was that Saturday evenings is where we need to be in Port Erin. That's something we've addressed. It's so important for us to be out there, people giving us information whilst we're out on foot patrol, something that they might not necessarily always feel comfortable doing, picking up the phone or walking into the station. But because we were there and they had easy access to us, we gained some quite important information. It's also nice to speak to the children, and we can dispel the myth that we're just here to lock people up. You know, we are here to help people as well.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
And Domino's Pizza has been forced to close its restaurants in Italy after residents shunned its American-style slices. The pizza brand shut its final branch of the country in the country after spending 7 years trying to lure Italians away from local pizzerias. Domino's first launched its bid to conquer Italy in 2015, but faced fierce competition from local restaurants that expanded their delivery services in the pandemic. And still with food, the price of olive oil is set to rise as heat waves hit production in Spain. Acer, which supplies the UK's biggest supermarkets, says prices will rise in shops in the next 3 to 4 months when companies renew their contracts, with possible rises of 20 to 25%. Spain produces nearly half of the world's olive oil.
The Stock Market Report. brought to you by Ramsay Crookhall.
End of the close, the FTSE 100 was up 0.08 at 7,488. The DAX is down 1.12 at 13,534. And at 5 o'clock, the Dow Jones was down 0.01 at 32,830. S&P 500 down 0.29 at 4,128. And the NASDAQ down 1.09 at 12,508. The exchange rates, the pound against the US dollar, it's 1.208, and against the euro at 1.181. And the commodities market, gold is up 0.48 at $1,796, and Brent is down 0.11 at $96.31.
You've got an investment plan?
Yeah, Mike set it up.
But don't you need loads of money to do that?
Not this one. It's called Shearwater from Ramsay Crookhall, and you pay in monthly as little as £100. So it's like saving regularly, really helping us invest in the future. For a house, well, the kids' education.
£100 a month? I could easily do that.
You should. The sooner you start, the better.
Invest in your future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsay Crookhall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookhall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
And so we say Fastamai, Rhian Evans.
Fastamai, good afternoon. Well, in cricket, the Isle of Man under-17 squad is continuing to stamp its authority at the IWC Under-19s World Cup Euro Division 2 qualifiers in Guernsey. The Manx side has finished top of Group B after beating Sweden, Norway and Denmark. They're on to the semi-final, which is taking place today, and they take on Italy. Updates on the game can be found on the Isle of Man cricket Facebook page. On to shooting now, and two young airgun athletes are representing the Isle of Man this week at the GB Junior International. Catherine Holden and Wes Reed are showcasing their skills in a number of events. Holden was first up in the target sprint, which took place yesterday. It was the first time she'd competed in this class and ended up finishing fourth overall, just 10 seconds off the bronze medal. Both Wes and Catherine are shooting again today in the first of their respective air rifle and air pistol matches. And if you're driving up north this weekend, you're likely to be met by an army of runners. More than 300 athletes are set to compete in the Isle of Man Marathon Championship and Half Marathon Road Races. The action gets underway on Sunday, that's the 14th of August, starting in Ramsay's Ballaclone Stadium. Runners will be on the road from 8:30 a.m. until round about lunchtime. Drivers in the area are asked to take extra care. And going back to cricket, Peel St John's Cricket Club has been victorious in its debut women's softball season. The Peel team were crowned winners of the softball league at the weekend after beating Castletown and Ramsay.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Starting with flights and the departures from Ronald's Way, look as though they're all on time. And same too with the arrivals. So that's one bit of good news there. So on to the roadworks, and in Douglas, first of all. Peel Road is one way heading away from Douglas between Athol Street and Circular Road. Traffic heading into Douglas will be diverted along Circular Road and then St George's Street. There will also be parking restrictions along some of the diversion route. And in Douglas also, temporary lights on Upper Dukes Road at the Falconcliffe Terrace Junction, 24 hours a day. And in Woodburn Road, temporary lights 9:30 in the morning to 3:30 in the afternoon between Albany Road and Murray's Road. And finally in Douglas, temporary lights on Howarden Avenue at the junction with Selborne Road, again 24 hours a day. In Glenvine, until the 11th of August, temporary lights on the main Peel to Douglas Road between Glendarroch Road and Balligarry Road at 9:30 in the morning to 3:30 in the afternoon. Port St Mary, until the 18th of August, temporary lights on Queen's Road, 24 hours a day. Port Erin, until the 5th of September, temporary lights on the Bradder Road near the turn for Bradder Glen. In Ramsay, the closure period there is extended until the 14th of August, for the Jerby Road between Bowering Road and Richmond Road. diversions are in place. Between the Len and Bride until tomorrow, there'll be temporary closures on the coast road between now and that's the 10th of August.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Spread your payments interest-free. Get more with Quayside.
The Department of Infrastructure is expected to be £19.5 million over budget by the end of the financial year. The financial outturn against budget for each department, statutory board and office for the first quarter of this financial year and the projections to year-end has been released. The full figures aren't yet available, but the data has been revealed from the start of the financial year to the 31st of May, as Amy Griffiths reports.
Most of the departments, if they aren't over budget yet, are expected to be by the end of the year. Within the DOI, income at the airport is expected to be down by £5.6 million by year-end, achieving just 30% of the budget. The department as a whole is expected to be almost £20 million over due to large inflation figures. Health and social care is also expected to overspend because of Manx Care's mandate, which lays out the delivery of the island's health services. Manx Care as a whole is forecasting an £8.5 million overspend, but the DHSC only has a reserve fund of £6.5 million. Education, sport and culture also looks likely to need more money than budgeted for, with an anticipated £8.2 million adverse variance, which is mainly due to the teachers' pay award and staffing increases in additional educational needs provision. Executive Government has managed to spend £1.7 million more than planned in the period between the 1st of April and the 31st of May this year, which is said to be down to pension costs of former government employees. In the Department of Home Affairs, pay costs are currently lower than expected, but that's down to recruitment issues within the police force. But in a familiar trend, by the end of the year, it's forecast to be over budget in non-pay costs because of an overspend on bail hostel security costs. Environment, food and agriculture is also currently better than budget so far, but expected to be slightly over by the end of the year because of the forecast 3.5% pay award. Enterprise has also lost income in both the shipping and aircraft registries. The only department currently expected to be under budget is Treasury, which is currently £2 million under and expected to be £23 million below by year end.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
Well, it's not Andy Wint, it's Barry Redfern. And it's 7 minutes to six. The Commonwealth Games are over for another 4 years. The Birmingham event concluded last night after 11 days of competition. It's been a memorable one for the team of Island Man athletes, and Manx Radio's Rob Pritchard, Elliot Turnbull and William King have been sharing some of their highlights.
There were two very key events, I feel, at the NEC over the games, and one of those was in the women's boxing, and Jade Burden being there as well, putting a sterling performance against an absolutely fantastic opponent in England's Gemma Richardson, the women's lightweight quarterfinals. It was what Jade said afterwards as well. This was such a crucial point for Manx boxing, in the fact to be the first female boxer to come to these games as well, put on a performance like that and really enjoy the occasion as well, and the fact that it can be an inspiration. She hopes to be an inspiration to young girls on the Isle of Man, that if they want to get in the gym, go right ahead and do it. The dream is theirs and yours to take as well. And also on the other side of it as well, in the para powerlifting as well, of course, we had Kim Dean in there, the island's first ever para athlete at a Commonwealth Games. That is a huge thing for the Isle of Man, to have someone in that particular category and celebrate Paralympic sport at these games. She enjoyed the occasion and she hopes there are more to come after her as well. Really important moment.
Yeah, two absolute trailblazers there. Probably for me, it speaks of Team Isle of Man's unity. We have seen real friendship throughout, and it will be Jessica Lee's round of 16 badminton. She was playing Scotland's Kirsty Gilmore, and there was a good 8 to 10 Manx athletes were there. Jade Burden, again, as you said, Rob, she was so loud throughout, going, come on, Jess. She was the biggest cheerleader there was. And it was just great to see that we're here, we're, you know, representing under the same flag. It is really one team, and these real friendships have grown throughout the games, and it was brilliant. William?
We should say all the athletes have done us so proud as an island. For me, it was actually a moment which showed the togetherness of the Commonwealth. In the aquatics, I think it was Laura Kinley's second semi-final, where the Bahamas swimmers sat with the Isle of Man swimmers and they were all together. The Bahamas athletes were flying the Isle of Man flag, waving that, the islands working together. So for me, that was something that really summed up.
Certainly some wonderful experiences, some wonderful records, and here's to the next time. And that's just about it for Update for this evening, compiled from the resources of the Manx Radio Newsroom. Update newsreader was Rhian Evans, producer was Amy Griffiths, and studio producer this evening was Chris Quirk. After the news, we're off to the countryside with Simon Clark and Kiri Commode. And Mike Reynolds follows at 6:30 with more of the greatest hits. Howard Kane at 9 with Sweet and Swing. And rounding off the day at 10, Rhian Evans is back with After Hours. From me, though, Barry Redfern, have a very good evening.